Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Dan, the show where two boys on opposite ends of the coast, and I'm going to say spectrum, have the courage to come together and be friends. We're brave, really, honestly, on this show. You'll notice things are a little different this time if you're a famous listener of this show. Dan usually does these intros, and today I'll be doing it. I am one of your hosts. I'm Soren, a wood whisperer, worm bin curator, red meat refuser, who no longer keeps in touch with his high school friends because they all went on to be professional athletes. And I'm worried that dropping a line will seem like maybe I want something. So if you're listening, Max, I'd love to get back in touch with you. You have to pull the trigger, though. And the other half of this podcast, of course, is Daniel O'Brien. Say hello, Dan.
Hello, I am Daniel. I am a musician, beatboxer, and I just have to say, profoundly disappointed in how you handled the introduction of this podcast.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, can we go beat by beat on what went wrong there?
I'd have to listen to it again. Do you remember what you said?
Yeah, I said it was a, well, I mean, it started like you, and then I said that there was a show where I started with a hello.
You said, like two best friends who were
two boys
who were on both sides, both.
I said on opposite ends of the coast.
Opposite ends of the coast.
That's wrong.
And also both sides of the spectrum.
Yeah.
What do you think you meant when you said that?
Like you're like a different type of person than I am. Like you're kind of introverted and like you think about how you interact with the world because it drives you crazy to get anything wrong. And me, I'm on the other end. I'm bold and brash and like I'm out there. I'm just taking risks.
Okay, so in your mind, the spectrum is if the spectrum is 1 to 10, one is where I am, which is introverted and thoughtful. And 10 is where you are, which is bold and brash.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that, do you not like that spectrum?
That's, you think when you say the spectrum, you mean that. And you, do you think that, that is accessible to most people?
Well, I assume most people think about the spectrum in terms of color. Like there's a color spectrum, but you know, there's not a lot separating us in terms of color.
That's true. Here's what I've learned. You're not allowed to introduce the show anymore. Even when I'm tired, even when I'm exhausted, even when I'm in the middle of a very demanding work week, I can't just kick it off to Soren.
Well, because hold on a second.
All right.
We should let time decide, obviously, because it's possible that the audience will be like, yes, what a breath of fresh air that was. He was awesome. Do you think that might happen?
I mean, anything's possible. You know, I don't want to Kevin Garnett this entire podcast, but anything's possible.
Here's the other thing, Daniel. You told me 5 minutes before the podcast, why don't you do the intro this time?
That's
fair. And then you threw me under the bus.
That's fair. That's on me.
Opposite ends of the coast. That was obviously not right. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
Opposite ends of the country, I should have said.
I think, you know what what this intro shows and what I love about your brain so much is your embracing of improv, that it's all yes and. So you knew that we were on opposite sides of the country, and you started with there. So you, forgive me, started with that, and then you just continued. It was like opposite ends of the country, yes and opposite ends of the spectrum. You didn't know. you're jumping before you know that you have a place to land.
I'm a 10, Dan, on the spectrum. Thanks to Raycon Wireless Earbuds for supporting Quick Question. Raycon earbuds start at about half the price of any other premium wireless earbuds on the market. Get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/QQ.
Winning season means Survivor, super contests, and squares. Invest in your intuition. Use promo code QQ and double your first deposit. New players get up to $1,000 in free play.
Well, usually this part of the show, we do a COVID update. Daniel, is there anything going on in your life that's new?
Not really. It's been more of the same. I keep reconnecting with people from the past. I don't know if this has happened to you, but like there are people that I've known for years, but I have completely lost track of, that now are reaching out via like Instagram DMs or Gmail or whatever, where like it's clearly people are scraping the bottom of the barrel of their contacts. And they're just like, let's see, who else? Oh, Daniel, we did a play in 1999. What's up? How are you doing? I find myself reconnecting with people that I haven't talked to in like truly years, just because we're like, no one knows what to do anymore. And like, we've all exhausted our close personal relationships and our family relationships at this point. And it's like, who else is in my phone? What else? Like, oh, someone saved in my phone as Brianna Tinder. Sure. I'll see how she is doing in all this.
This is exactly why I can't get in touch with Max. He would just see that coming a mile away. He'd be like, what does he need?
How about you? Do you have any COVID updates?
Yeah, my fucking garden is dying.
You were so proud of your garden.
I don't know what I'm doing. It's so clear now that I don't know what I'm doing. It's like I got to that next level and it's where I need to know more stuff and I don't. So then they're dying in interesting and unique ways. Like the tomatillo plant is just changing color.
And oh no.
I have a jalapeno plant and the jalapenos just stopped growing and they started to kind of wither and wilt for some reason. I don't know why my cucumber leaves have all started to turn gray. It can't just be seasonal. I started my garden on the other side of the solstice at about this time. So they would have been getting just as much sun then as they are now. Something's eating all my tomatoes. Something's eating all my lettuce. I can't stop it. It's brutal out here.
Because I know that you got some seedlings from a neighbor, right?
Yeah.
The tomatillo came from a neighbor, is correct?
It's from a guy from work.
Oh, guy from work. Okay. So none of your neighbors are also growing anything right now?
Well, no, I guess. No, I haven't checked in on them. I don't know if they have anything going. Here's the other thing. My tomato plants got tall enough that they started to fall over. Even with a tomato cage, the tops of them have started to topple over. So I lost some tomatoes that way. If I cut it, then it starts to get an infection. I don't know what I'm doing. Yeah, it's tubular, so it's got it's really awesome. No, it's tubular, so it's got like, if you cut it, it's a little hollow on the inside. And if it gets any sort of water in there, then it's just, or sitting water, even with dew from the air, then you'll start to get an infection. And so there's all kinds of stuff that I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing. And the minute that anything goes wrong, I can't stop it. So I'm just watching this train wreck happen in slow motion as my garden dies around me.
Do you have any success stories? I know that you struggled with strawberry for a while. Has that?
Oh, God.
Nope. Okay.
Strawberries are ancient memory. The best thing I have going right now is that I planted some edible flowers and they're all starting to grow.
Okay. And, how much maintenance does that require? Like, are you responsible for their success or is that more nature's thing?
All I did was put some seeds in the ground and then water. And this is what I'm getting. But I bought some Miracle-Gro and I'm hoping that it's because I've been putting worm compost down there and I'm wondering if maybe that something in there is killing them. So I'm just going to go with the chemicals that are proven by Western medicine and put those on there and see if it cures everything. It's a real bummer. I don't know what I'm doing. It's so humbling to watch your garden die.
It's rare to hear you admit that you don't know what you're doing with the thing.
All right, the podcast did not start great, Dan. No, is that what you want to hear?
It's like a very sweet human moment for you and our friendship. Because I never know what the fuck I'm doing, and I'm pretty open about it all the time.
Yeah, it's not going well.
Are you, what are you going to do about it?
It's going to take a lot of YouTube videos, basically. I'm going to have to sit through, I started doing some research today, and some people are suggesting things like put a little soap in your water before you water these plants because it'll deter animals from eating the leaves. But I don't know. That sounds like I'm going to kill some more plants.
Yeah.
If I just put dish soap in the water. I can buy some screens to try and protect the lettuce from these pests or try and kill whatever it is. But I don't, it's not really on the table. I don't want to do that. I have to build this screen stuff. And then after that, like my other ones that are just dying from something internal, like they've got these weird bleeding ears or whatever the signs are that they're not going to make it. I don't know. I have to do a bunch of research and then try and save them. And then it becomes fall and they all die anyway.
Right. And I think, and this is like a pretty strong difference between you and me. You're not open to just being like, well, fuck gardens then.
No.
Yeah. Like for me, if I tried this for a while and I was bad at it, then I'd be like, well, I guess I don't have a garden. Goodbye. You want to get better at it. You don't want to just sweep under the rug a thing that you're bad at, as I've done.
No, I have to master this. They're all counting on me.
Right, of course.
I don't know. I'd have looked at the tomatillo plant and thought, what if I just fucking pulled it out?
Right. Because if I were you, I would be staring at all of these failing plants and be like, nobody asked me to do this. I don't need to do it. I could just shut this down right now.
I can't. No, I can't do that. I have to try and save it. I have to try and right this ship.
Well, all right. Mazel. I don't know.
Thanks to MyBookie for sponsoring this episode of Quick Question. Winning season is back with MyBookie. Winning season means doubling your first deposit, and winning season means Survivor, Super Contests, and Squares. It's a great time to be playing at MyBookie. At MyBookie, winning season means hitting all your parlays and props with your feet up, watching your team trounce their rivals. Rejoice! It's time to celebrate the NFL season. Invest in your intuition. Just got to use promo code QQ at double your first deposit. New players can get up to $1,000 in free play, designed to add more excitement to the sports you love and the games you love to bet.
Up to $1,000 first deposit bonus. Double your first deposit. Use promo code QQ to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code QQ when creating your account to claim the bonus. Bet, win, get paid.
Well, anyway, we should get into our show.
Yeah.
It's only, 15 minutes in and we're getting to it? That's pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
Most of the time, we don't move this quick. Dan, I have a quick question for you.
Hit it.
What is the creepiest room of your house growing up? Or if not your house, like your friends' houses? Is there like some room where you're like, it just filled you with anxiety?
We had, I don't even know if this is technically a room, but so my house growing up in Hazlitt, New Jersey, downstairs where we had the TV room and the sump pump, there was a small door that went under the stairs that functionally we never used for anything. It wasn't storage. It was just some like haunted fucking spot that I don't even know if we had like proper flooring or if the ground was just dirt. I don't know. It was like this small chunk of space under the stairs with no light and no anything. And I am certain it was haunted. And I also made it worse because I had a babysitter for like kindergarten and maybe a year before that who would make me peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I didn't like the way she made them. I would take them from her and be like, thank you. And I would go downstairs and then I would throw them in this spot under the stairs. And it seems like years later, I must be wrong about that, but it felt like years later, my parents investigated and they were like, there's 10,000 sandwiches in this hidden spot beneath our staircase. Who did this? It was like, it was me. I didn't like the way Stella made sandwiches, so I threw them. There's just like a weird, gross cemetery for sandwiches and just like...
this hell portal under your stairs where you could just toss things you didn't want.
Yeah, I was like, this is not for me. And then like, best case scenario, 12 months of rotting sandwiches.
Oh, God. I would be so pissed if I was your parents.
Yeah.
Under the stairs feels like a common one. I had some family friends growing up and they had an under the stairs place where there were two sisters in the family who were older than I was. And occasionally they would lock me in there as a goof.
Yeah.
Like it was jail.
It's like, I don't know what yours was, but it's a tiny door. It's a very small door under the stairs.
Even the door's small.
Yeah. And it's like, who is that for if not ghosts and goblins?
Right. That is not for a human, no. Clearly. Something else that has a a thumb that can open a doorknob, and that's for them.
Yeah.
No, I'm with you. It's very creepy in an area like that. And like, I think a lot of people, basements, a lot of times, I think people are like, no, it's a haunted space. For me, there was an area in friends' houses, sitting rooms that are living rooms without a television in them, or like separate from where they would watch television, that was just intended for to entertain guests or whatever. I don't know why they had sitting rooms. Those are so fucking creepy to me. Mm-hmm. It feels like a murder room. First of all, I don't think I'm allowed inside of those even to this day.
Yeah.
They always have like a white carpet in them and the seats don't look quite like you should be sitting on them. And then on top of that, I don't understand the point of, could you imagine going into one of those terrifying rooms and just sitting there and reading a book, mm-hmm. like pretending to relax in a sitting room?
Right.
It's absurd.
Ah, this is where the men drink brandy and smoke cigars and talk about the day's events. Like, nah, that doesn't happen. Let's just text about it.
It is a dead room. That is not where the life of the house is. And it feels just like this weird tumor of the house where no one actually ever goes. And it's only designed for this one specific function that I've never even seen it used in that function. So it was always a sitting room was always horrifying to me. But in our house, we had a finished basement. By the time I was like six, we had it finished. And there was radon gas down there. And I didn't know what that was as a kid, but my dad was like, don't spend too much time in the basement. There's radon.
Mm.
And I was like,
we didn't have that. We had radon chong in the basement, but that's a completely different thing.
Radon is a naturally occurring gas that I think is just underground. I don't know how it works, mm-hmm. but we got greedy. We dug too deep. We hit radon gas and there was just radon gas in the basement. And it wasn't a lot, but it meant that you shouldn't ever spend the night down there. You shouldn't spend a bunch of hours down there. It's poisonous, I guess. But as a kid, I didn't understand any of that. I just heard my dad say, don't spend too much time in the basement. There's this thing you don't understand down there. And that was a horrifying thing to me as a child, to the point where, and I think a lot of people get this, when I would go down there, I'd spend time. If I started to get creeped out, I was like, it's time to go upstairs. I have to turn these lights out, but I have to run faster than I've ever run in my entire life, or I will be caught by radon. And so it was like one hand on the switches, the other hand on the door frame, like ready to just sprint my life out, turn those lights out and just fly and just try and get out of there as quickly as possible because something is after me down there.
Would you describe every room of your house currently? The house that you have now?
Do you really want me to do that?
I do, yeah.
All 20. So I have a living room, our bedroom. There's like a little laundry room area that doesn't isn't really separated by a door that we've also started using as a nursery for our youngest. There is a guest bedroom, a living room, a kitchen, and then an office-ish area.
Okay. So you don't have any one spot in the house that you don't know what to do with?
No, no. We've that space where we now have a nursery will be it when she's older. And when she moves into Ronan's room with him, we will... That will be this just space that we're like, okay, a reading nook maybe.
Yeah. All right. Well, I thought that question would be more fruitful.
I still haven't been in my crawl space yet, Daniel.
Okay, that's good. But let's tug on that thread.
I'll tell you that while most people find crawl spaces very, very terrifying, I find them very soothing. I like the whole process of putting on a big suit that allows me to get all the way down in there, a headlamp.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Are you familiar with crawl spaces?
I thought
so. I don't know how far back I should start.
I thought so, but...
The floor is dirt generally in them. They're musty. They have cobwebs. So you put on like a painter suit, basically. Something that covers you from head to toe. Mm-hmm. Something with a hood, something with booties on it.
Okay.
So you can get on your belly and like crawl through there. Otherwise, you're coming out and you're just filthy. So I put the suit on, get down in the crawl space, and the ground's always very cool down there. It's nice and quiet. I can go into a crawl space at night. I fought ants at night in my old crawl space, and I loved it. I loved the process of like getting down in there in the middle of the night.
I honestly don't know what to say.
So when you were a kid and you would have to go out into the snow and you knew that you had on your full snowsuit and like you were impenetrable to that snow. It could not fuck with you.
Right.
How good that felt when you were a kid. You were like shielded from it.
Yes. Okay.
It's that feeling.
All right.
But as an adult.
Yeah.
But the world down there can't touch me because I'm wearing my suit.
When you say you're fighting ants in the middle of the night, what is...
Oh, sorry. So in the summers in LA, you'll know this, the ants will come into wherever you live because they need water desperately.
Yes.
You can find them around cups, all like circled the rim, like some sort of ritualistic sacrifice as they're all drinking from it. They get into your house no matter what. Finding the trail of ants then will lead you to their nest. And at my old house, I had a nest underneath the house. And the only way to get to it was to go into the crawl space. And every time that I'd find a trail of ants in the house, I would get a little excited because I was like, okay, I get to get in the crawl space and go do this cathartic thing. Go clean out this badness, this toxin in my house. And so I will get down there with a shovel and some bleach and just start digging in the dirt where their nest is, watching all of them come up and then pouring some bleach on it. And then just like spending some time in the peace of the crawl space.
Okay. That, how tight is that, the crawl space?
That one, you wouldn't have been able to raise your head all the way up if you were on your belly.
Okay. That's nightmare territory for me. I don't consider myself a person who is claustrophobic, but I do frequently have nightmares about crawling into a space where I can't turn around within that space.
Yeah.
And that's like a deal breaker for me.
Yeah. Okay. I get that. And there are some points in this where, you know, there's nails sticking out of the ceiling you can get caught on, and there's... It was an old house, so there's a lot of weird stuff down there that you could get trapped in.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, I'm fine with nails. Fuck me up. Scratch my back. I don't care. But I need the freedom to be able to, like, turn around in a space.
I feel that moment of panic when I'm trying to figure out what I like about it. There is that moment of panic where, like, I can't turn around for a moment, or I'm stuck somewhere. And I'm like, at any point, I can't just get up if I wanted to. It's going to take me another 10 minutes to get all the way back to the entrance and out. And there's part of me that feels like, but I'm okay. Like the fact that I'm okay with that makes me feel stronger.
Okay.
In a weird way where like, I feel more invincible and then I feel better about myself. And in turn, it makes me like the space more.
All right.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe that's not healthy.
I don't know.
Whether you're working out from home or working on your fitness, you want to be listening to what you're listening to, not what your family, your coworkers, that other guy on the train is listening to. I've got a new place where I've decided I'm going to be listening to music, down in my crawl space, ladies and gentlemen. I think that if I can get down there, away from my family, have a nice, cool, relaxing afternoon down in the cold dirt and just listen to my favorite Spin Doctors album, that would make me very, very happy. Everyone needs to get a great pair of wireless earbuds. But before you go dropping hundreds of dollars on a pair, you need to check out the wireless earbuds from Raycon. We teamed up with Raycon and they're offering 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/QQ. That's your whole order. So whether you want to get a pair of earbuds for you, a pair for your family, or maybe just a couple for yourself, like an evening wear version, you can do it for 15% off. Unlike some of your other wireless options, Raycon earbuds are both stylish and discreet, with no dangling wires or stems to distract anyone during video calls or to get in the way when you're running. I found that with wired headphones, I'm constantly knocking them out of my ears. I want to listen to music, but I also want to be doing my activities in my life. And Raycon has made that possible for me because it's discreet, no one sees them, I can look good, and I don't have to worry about those pesky wires. Raycon earbuds start at about half the price of every other premium wireless earbud on the market, and they sound just as amazing as the other top audio brands you know. Their newest model, the Everyday E25 earbuds, are their best ones yet. With 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass, and more compact design that gives you a nice noise-isolating fit. Get your latest and greatest from Raycon. Get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/QQ. That's buyraycon.com/QQ for 15% off your Raycon wireless earbuds. buyraycon.com/QQ. Do you have any questions for me?
I do, yeah. This is a variation on something that we've talked about before, but quick question. We've talked about movies that you've loved as a kid or that you had loved as a kid that you're kind of embarrassed by now. Like I talked about Garden State, certainly. I wonder if you had anything like that for music, songs or albums that really resonated with you in high school that now as an adult, you're like, I can't believe that that mattered to me. Yes. Oh, that was a quick yes. Yeah. Okay, great.
Yeah. I was obsessed with a song by Spin Doctors called Two Princes.
No, I can't.
There was a song called Two Princes. The first time I heard it was in the movie So I Married an Axe Murderer.
This is not a bit.
No.
I love it. Okay.
And I was so enamored with the song that my brother had the soundtrack to So I Married an Axe Murderer, didn't want me in his room because I was 4 years younger than him. But I would sneak in when he wasn't there and play Two Princes on his CD player. And then I had a school dance coming up. And at the school dances, this is in middle school, the school dances, you were allowed to bring your own CD if there was like a song you wanted to play. And I was like, other kids are bringing slow songs because nobody dances to anything other than slow songs. But in my mind, I was like, my school needs to hear this. It's important. And so I borrowed my brother's CD, brought it, wrote down the track number on the front on some masking tape, gave it to John Chuckowitz, famously the DJ of our middle school dances, now in high school. And
remember when we used to make names like that?
John Chuckowitz. And he didn't play it the whole night. And at the end, I went up to be like, what the fuck? Can I have my CD back? And he was like, I don't know what you're talking about. And so I never got it back. And I felt awful and never told my brother, but he clearly was like, where is my So I Married an Axe Murderer soundtrack? And I was like, I don't know, man. I don't know. Are you sure you didn't leave it at school? He's like, why would I bring it to school? Yeah. So I loved them so much that then they had another album called Pocket Full of Kryptonite. And the first song on it was Jimmy Olsen Blues. And I bought that album, listened to it over and over again, and loved the Spin Doctors. And I've since tried to go back and like try and recapture that love, at least find like some nostalgia for it. It's gone. This is so bad. The Spin Doctors are terrible.
What about Two Princes resonated with you in 1990 past?
So I didn't know all the lyrics then. And if you listen to the lyrics now, they're pretty dumb.
Yeah.
But
I don't even know who the protagonist of that song is.
Nobody does. Also, you marry him, your father will
disown you.
Don't disown you. You marry me. No. Yeah. You marry me, your father will condone you. Oh, you marry him, your father will condone you. You marry me, your father will disown you. Yeah. He'll eat his hat now.
Yes.
Like lines like that are what make that song great.
But like the prince who is not the speaker, I guess, doesn't seem too bad. Like I've been given no reason to assume that the second prince is a piece of shit. It sounds like he is, if anything, a wealthier version.
Yeah, I think it might be like a Jolene situation where he's acknowledging the other guys better, but he's like, come on, please, just stay with me.
Just pick me, please.
Which I think was maybe a common thread of the 90s for male protagonists. But I loved that song. And it was, I think there was like there were certain songs along the way where there was a girl that I liked and there was just a song where I was like, yeah, this person gets it. This is what love is. And I think that I had that song attached to a certain girl. And in my mind, I was like, this song is her. I will listen to the song and I will think of her. By the way, her name, Tina Chuckowitz, the younger sister of John Chuckowitz.
Oh,
who
gosh!
Stole my fucking CD.
Oh, it all comes together and is still ultimately meaningless.
What about you?
I have what I feel like is a much more like right down the middle of the road answer. Is Screaming Infidelity, Screaming Infidelities by Dashboard Confessional.
Okay. Dashboard Confessional was popular.
It was incredibly popular, but it was also like he was always singing about things that I hadn't experienced and couldn't really understand. Like Screaming Infidelities was a song about being cheated on and being heartbroken about it and not quite being able to move on. And I was listening to it at like 16 years old being like, yeah, this is the same as what I'm going through.
Yeah, of course.
Because I have a crush on a girl who doesn't like me.
There's just you like, it's funny when you're young how you latch onto the yearning of a song.
Yeah.
Without really understanding what the song is, and you're just like, I also yearn.
Right. He's like, he's talking about like clutching the sheets that they used to share together, and I'm sitting there at 16 years old being like, yeah, no, that's true. I also would like to make out with someone. Our feelings are the same.
And so was it just sort of like a broad idea of love, or do you always have somebody in mind that you were like, this is the girl?
No, the thing is, I think for the majority of high school, I was so enamored by the idea of being heartbroken that I didn't have a person in mind really. Like I would every once in a while dip into like, oh, I've decided I'm in love with this girl. Right now. But for the most part, we're dipping into a therapy session. I was really into the idea of being a heartbroken romantic. So yeah, songs like this were like really resonated for me where it was like, I at 16, 15, 17 years old, I wanted to be a person who had been like through the ringer and totally heartbroken and destroyed. And even if I had none of the raw material to justify that, I was just super enamored by the idea.
So in high school, there was a band that I got very into punk when I was in high school, as I assume you did with Dashboard Confessional. Mm-hmm. It was the same kind of punk I was into, which is a very accessible punk where you're like, oh, Blink-182. Okay. That's way more my speed than Suicide Machines.
Yeah.
And there was a band called Millencolin. Have you ever heard of them?
Millencolin? Spell it.
Millencolin.
No, I've never heard of it.
Okay. This was a band from Sweden. They sang in English. They were a punk band. I would put them in like the same category as Lagwagon or Newfound Glory was too political.
Newfound Glory was too political.
Newfound Glory, isn't that what they're... Maybe I'm thinking of a different band.
Were you thinking of Black Flag?
No.
Newfound Glory is so not political.
Really?
Okay. We have to have... We'll have... Because I want you to continue your story, but to begin with, Dashboard Confessional is not punk. So we have to have a whole separate podcast where we talk about music, but go on.
It's pop punk. Isn't it pop punk?
I would say Dashboard is emo.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So emo, yeah. You're probably right. That's a whole nother genre that I never really got into. Okay. But let me go back to Millencolin real quick. Millencolin was a band that was from Sweden. They sang in English. As a result, some of their lyrics were a little tough to understand. And I loved this band. And I think I might like it for the same reason that I like Two Princes. Two Princes was a band where I also, was a song where I also had a hard time understanding all the lyrics. And so I could kind of just put whatever meaning I wanted into it. And just the strain in the voice was the emotion that I was after. Like whatever the sound of it was the emotion I was chasing. And then I could just put my own lyrics to it. Millencolin had an album called Life on a Plate that I really, really loved. It's got like a pop punky beat to it. And then there was a one follow-up called For Monkeys. And For Monkeys I would listen to all the time because it was like right when I was leaving high school, going to college, and it felt like every song was about leaving your friends and how like you're gonna try, but it's just like this is the end of something. And I loved that about it. I listened to it all the time. I went back and listened to it at the gym the other day and I was like, that is not what any of these lyrics are about. There's nothing in here about any of that. And so it's just these albums where I didn't understand what they were, what the lyrics were. It might have been Sigur Rós. Like Sigur Rós sings in nonsense. And that's what I wanted all throughout high school, was a band that was just like, could fill the space that then I could drop my emotions into.
Yeah. It's so wild looking at the lyrics for that Dashboard song right now, as I'm doing. And I'm so embarrassed. Like, lyrics... As for now, I'm going to hear the saddest songs and sit alone and wonder how you're making out. As for me, I wish I was anywhere with anyone making out. That's so fucking stupid. Just the idea of singing about making out is stupid. And secondarily, the idea of singing about sitting around listening to sad songs is so fucking dumb. And at 16 years old, I was listening to this song and being like, yep, this is the peak of emotional intelligence. I'm listening to a song about listening to sad songs.
Yeah.
I'm deep.
Thank God I have a leader to guide me through this darkness. I'm looking at the lyrics to this song from Millencolin. It's called Lights Out.
No, I don't want you to do that. I want you to listen. I want you to look up the lyrics for Two Princes.
Okay.
Don't change the rules.
All right. Let me go look up Two Princes. I could probably just sing it for you. I know it that well.
I do. Like, and full disclosure, I love that song. It's a great song. I love that album.
The So I Married an Axe Murderer soundtrack?
Yeah.
It had a Toad the Wet Sprocket song on it, too.
Unfortunately, no. I mean the actual Spin Doctors album.
Okay. All right.
The one with 430.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Am I late? No, just early.
Yeah.
And was a your mom was a pajama on that
yes.
one? Okay. Yeah. So this is a, you know how it goes. There's two princes kneel before you. Mm-hmm. That's what I said now. Princes who adore you. Just go ahead now. One has diamonds in his pockets. That's some bread now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that means. This one said he wants to buy you rockets. Ain't in his head now.
Right. So that's my first problem with Spin Doctor's Two Princes is at that point, the narrator is describing two princes. Yes. Somewhere in the song, it shifts perspective and the narrator becomes, I believe, one of the princes.
Yeah, I don't know that that's unprecedented though. Like in songs, there's always like a song will be frequently be about she, like, mm-hmm. or this woman. And then the chorus will be like you. And so you're singing about somebody in the third person and all of a sudden you're singing to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's just flipping the script and being like, here's this third person, but no, it's me this time.
Okay.
Ahead of the game. Okay. This one got a princely racket.
Mm-hmm.
A princely racket. That's what I said now. Got some big seat upon, oh no, oh, seal upon seal. His jacket. Yeah. Okay. Ain't in his head now. Oh, we're back. We're back to ain't in his head now. You marry him, your father will condone you. How about that now? You marry me, your father will disown
okay,
you.
Okay, so he'll then we've now switched from omniscient second person narrator to a participant in the narrative.
Yes.
Right? We've gone from there are two princes and I'm going to describe them both to now I am one of the princes. And by the rules of narrative logic, you should favor me over the other one, even though we've been given no reason to assume that the other prince is bad.
No, in fact, he's the only one that has actual princely ties.
Correct.
Because he goes on to say, marry him or marry me. I'm the one who loves you, baby. Can't you see? I ain't got no future or family tree, but I know what a prince and lover ought to be. So he's just calling himself a prince.
Yeah.
Even though he's got no qualifications in that department. Anyway, I love this goddamn song. I was nobody. I was a nobody. And Tina Chukwuitz, she just needed, she liked Will Tardif. What did he have to offer?
What's up?
Yeah, he was cool. Yeah, half his head was shaved.
Sure.
But
what's Tina Chukwuitz? What's she up to now?
I don't know. I haven't checked in on her in a while. Mm. I imagine she's got a family somewhere in Colorado. But I don't know what she's up to. We did date briefly.
Okay. So what's the fucking problem?
At the time, Dan. At the time we were not dating. And at the time I had a crush. And you know, but I'm a 10 on the spectrum, so I followed through.
Do you have any other questions for me? I might have one for you.
No.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Is there anything like a mundane thing in your life that you believe that you refuse to investigate?
Yeah. Do you know what a fear cage is?
No.
Okay. All right. I don't believe in ghosts. I'll say that right off the bat. I believe in fear cages. And a fear cage is an electromagnetic field, usually within your house somewhere, that's caused by the way that the wires are, or that over your house there are power lines, and that's all, there's some sort of foci around your house, like there's focal points where all the electromagnetic energy is hitting, and it causes you to have paranoia, to feel like there's somebody there with you in the room. I think I would attribute it to a lot of like ghost sightings is this other thing that's also a lot of people consider some hooky booky bullshit. But I will, we have a coworker who introduced me to this because he said he had one in his house. And I was immediately like, yes, that makes perfect sense. I will not look into this any further. Randall.
Mm-hmm.
Randall had some weird things happening at his apartment and then came to me one day and he's like, wasn't ghost, is a fear cage. And I was like, you have to give me more information than that. And he explained that in his kitchen, there was an electromagnetic field that was creating havoc in his body and making him see things that weren't there, hallucinations and paranoia and a sense that he was not alone and being watched.
This is the best answer I could have ever hoped for. What I was thinking of when I asked you this question was, personally, my freezer makes ice cubes, and I think they melt faster than a normal ice cube melts. And I believe that in my bones, but I would never, like, I'm not going to litigate it. I'm not going to create an experiment. But that's what I meant when I submitted this question. It was like, do you have anything like ice cubes? But no, fear cages.
Yeah, man. Terrifying stuff. God, I should have let you go first.
Man,
I could have come up with something like ice cubes. You ever have to do like a presentation at school and the first person gets up and starts and you just realize how badly you missed the mark as soon as they're up there doing it? You're like, oh, fuck, oh, fuck.
It was like, oh, shit, we had to read the whole book. Oh, no.
This, no one else just wrote their own poem. This is a problem. That's how I feel a little right now. You've never heard of a fear cage?
No.
Okay. Well, very popular in the paranormal community.
I also, this is helpful because I'm going to, COVID update. I'm going to travel outside of New York. Next week, I'm going to go to Georgia, a safe part of Georgia, but it's very near Savannah, where apparently there are many ghosts.
Ooh.
Let me see. I want to pull up this thing that I read about Savannah right now. It's USA Today named Savannah one of America's 10 most haunted cities. If you scare easily, there's a creepy crawl haunted pub tour that they recommend because liquid courage always beats ghosts.
No, okay. No, that's not true.
No?
No, it doesn't. It's not like a fire water type of thing.
Okay, speak on that. How, like, you seem pretty confident that liquid courage doesn't beat ghosts.
Yeah, getting drunk is getting inebriated to the point where your brain isn't at its most lucid is not going to help you in a situation where you have to fight a ghost.
Okay, I want to drop the veil all the way down. Do you believe in ghosts?
No, I don't believe in ghosts.
Okay, I love ghosts. Okay.
I love the idea of the supernatural. And so things that are adjacent, I desperately want to be true. I like the idea of ghosts and for those to be real. But I just can't get on board. I've never had any experience in my life even close to a haunting. And so I'm like,
Yeah. What about not a haunting, but something
supernatural?
Yeah. I mean, like something spiritual around like the passing of someone in your life, like something that like we had this is like we're dipping into a serious part of the podcast now where family members when my grandfather passed away felt a chill the moment he passed and you know, not this exactly, but a light flickering or a door closing at the moment of someone passing. Something like that. Have you nothing like that with you or your family? Thing,
no, never. The closest thing I can say is that there was in my hometown, this has nothing to do with my family, but there was a glowing grave up on this hillside at any.
What?
Have we talked about this in the podcast before? No, apparently not. There was a glowing grave on the hillside in my hometown where it was called White Hill. There was an old, old graveyard above this potato farm that had like a rickety gate on it and everything. Some graves up there from like the late 1800s even. And when you drive up that old road out of town, you can look up on the hillside and you see what is clearly a light up there in the cemetery. And when you get up there and you look around, you can't find it. But every single night, whether there's a power outage in town, whether it's cloudy, the moon's out, the moon's not out, there's something up there that looks like somebody is shining a light directly. It's not like a direct light. It's not like a high beam's coming at you, but you just like, there's something glowing up there.
Right.
And you get there and you can't find it.
Here's one of the most interesting things about this podcast to me is that one day someone will play the entire library of the 52 plus episodes that we've done and your voice will not be heard. It's just me talking to nothing. And someone will be like, "You, who did you think you were talking to this whole time?" And I it turns out I was just talking to the ghost of like some 18th century mineral man. Someone who's like, "I've made my money in Danbarite," or some other fucking nonsense. You have some big twisty mustache and you harness minerals from the ground with your hands. And that's how you made your fortune. And
the earth speaks to me. She tells me where they are.
Right. And I've been speaking to your ghost this entire time on a podcast. People were like, "I thought you were doing this as a bit. I thought you knew there was no one on the other end of this phone call."
And just like, long silences. It's very hard to follow.
Yeah. Because I have to say, Soren, your timeline of life doesn't make sense. Everything that I learn about your biography, incongruous with the other things that I've learned about it.
That's not a glowing grave is not crazy, right? That's like the least crazy of all the things.
Wait, say it one more time.
That's the least crazy of all the things I've told you.
No, which thing? Your phone cut out.
Oh,
because so you're a ghost.
A glowing grave.
No, the glowing grave is up there. That's like when I decide when we finally beat this stupid virus and life returns to not normal, but a new version of normal. And we have a live show that we do somewhere in Colorado, maybe the Red Rocks or some other shit like that. We'll go to that glowing tombstone and I'm going to find out that it says, "Here lies Soren Bowie, died in 1897. Fucking.
I'm looking it up right now. There's an article about it called "The Ghost Lights of Silver Cliff in a Colorado Cemetery." And I'm making sure that I'm not crazy, that other people are aware of this. Because when I was growing up, it was like everybody knew about this.
Look, no one's worried. No one is worried that you're crazy. The concern is that you're dead and I'm crazy and that I'm going to find out when I like eventually go to Carbondale to go to their library to look up microfiche for their fucking obituaries, that I'm going to find out that you were one of the two princes who was killed by the other prince. Have I tied enough things together?
Yeah, that's really well done.
It's pretty satisfying, right?
So to answer your question, no, nothing supernatural has ever happened other than this time that I saw a ghost. That I don't believe in.
This one's pretty off the rails, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's a fun one. Listen, I think it's about time that I go find our...
Oh, wait, no. We need to do a thing first, though, right? We're gonna have guests, right? Should we talk about that?
Oh, yeah. We should mention that. Yeah. So coming up on this podcast, we're going to try something a little bit new for a month. We're going to have a couple of new guests. Dan's going to bring on some people, and I'm going to bring on some people. We're going to introduce each other to our new friends, and Dan's going to learn about my buddies, and I'm going to learn about Dan's, and I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, it turns out that Soren and I have nothing to learn from each other anymore.
The glowing grave was the last of it.
That's it.
But yeah, we're very excited. We're going to have on guests like Alex Goldman from Reply All and Dan Kennedy from The Moth.
And Danny Fernandez from Nerdificent and from just broadly the internet. She's a Disney princess. She was in Wreck-It Ralph 2 and one of the funniest and smartest writers and performers I've ever been lucky enough to know.
It's going to be exciting. We're excited to try it and see how it goes. Now I'm going to go find our social accounts, Daniel.
Okay.
And before I do that, I just wanted to ask you another quick question that you can answer while I'm looking.
Sure.
I don't imagine it'll take long. What's something a woman has tried during sex that was just too much for you?
I know that you want me to have something wacky and fun, but I'm like the most milquetoast person sexually that you could ever conceive of. That
no, that's kind of what I was hoping for.
Yep. I was with a woman and we were having a healthy sexual relationship with each other. And she leaned in close and whispered to me and she said, "Pull my hair." And I leaned in even closer and I said, "Nope." Because that is just like, that's sort of where my vibe ends. Like, I'm not an aggressive person. And even if it's what you want, it's like, nah, I just don't, I don't, I'm like, I'm not a guy who can pull hair. So hair. I'm gonna quietly say no. And then do like, let's resume boring sex, please. That's my main kink. My main kink is boring sex. Can we do that forever, please?
Okay, you can follow Daniel on Twitter at DLB_Inc. You can follow me, Soren, at Soren_LTD. Our old buddy Bacon. Make me bacon, please. Yeah, you can follow him on Twitter at Make Me Bacon, Please. Or you can follow Quick Question at QQ_SorenAndDan. You can email us at QQ@SorenAndDaniel@gmail.com. And you can find, follow, hire our producer, sound engineer, and editor, Gabe, at GabeHarder.com when the site's up. Gabe, do you have a Twitter that we should be putting on here too?
Yeah, I'm actually working on my Twitter.
Oh, great. You're so cultivating it. What is it?
Working on your Twitter?
Yeah, that'll be up around the same time my website.
All right, so keep your eyes peeled for that, everybody.
It's good. I definitely remember back in 2008, 2009, even into 2010, workshopping my Twitter before I went public with it.
Making sure those images, you hit that sweet spot.
Absolutely.
Before you put it out there for the world. That's smart. Smart, Gabe. All right, I'm done. Goodbye.
Yeah.